Greetings and welcome to Baron Craze's Visions of Horror, episode number 4, covering the week of January 22nd to the 28th. Now, I know. Wait a minute, Baron. You're releasing the show on Monday the 30th. What gives? All right, so here's what happened. Friday, watched the movie. Everything was going along just nice. Had a friend over, guess it'll be Friday afternoon. Anyway, he's hanging out, and he's found an old Trevor Trove of writings I had done. And he's looking at a couple of them, he's looking at the titles. And he found this one, and this thing must have been written about, I don't know, 10 years ago or even more. I think it's probably older than that, maybe even 20 years. And he goes, Headless Preacher. He goes, I like the title. Now, he does some black metal band work and such like this. And I'm like, okay, whatever. He's starting out with that. And I think it's cool. And he goes, well, oh, this would be great to, you know, write a song about this. The writing's really bad in this. And I said, well, it's really old. I was probably messing around with something I was doing. I said, these are probably stories that I wrote when I was a teenager. And I've played around with them every once in a while just to, you know, work the brain and, you know, see what twisted thoughts I can come up with on different titles or plot lines or whatever. And he goes, yeah. I get certain things here, but I love the title and I would like you, okay? And I'm like, what? What do you want me to do what? Lay down some black metal kind of demonic, hellish voices and things I know you could do really well. And I go, look, I'm not a singer. I don't know the first thing about anything you're talking about. He goes, don't worry about it. And so we'll just go back over to my place. I'll lay down some tracks. I got a kind of little studio at my place. And we'll just have you in a listening booth, more or less. And I'm like, okay, I guess so. So went over there on Friday night, which turned into be Saturday morning. Over and over and over. And he's going, hey, Baron, you keep changing it. I want something. Just give me one good take. And then we need to kind of repeat it a few times. And I'm like, okay. So I didn't know what I was doing. And he's like, you got to get more. You got to get higher. You got to get more intense, more intense. And I kept, you know, really pushing the vocals as far as I could possibly go. Screeches and howls and different tones and everything else. And he's going, this is incredible. You know, we're not manipulating the voice in any way. You're manipulating the voice. So anyway, Saturday comes along, you get, you know, been home, sleeping most of the day away, it's an afternoon, get up, walk into my home office, I've got the whole entire coffee works in my room, which is basically a Keurig, a hot shot, and, you know, the coffee grinder for making fresh coffee, the whole thing's set up, right? My girl is fantastic, she set it up for me. Now, I haven't talked to anybody yet, and now, you know, I watch a movie. And then somebody comes in the room and has a question for me about something on the site or something else going on. And I open my mouth to talk and nothing comes out. Nothing. Barely a whisper comes out. My vocals are gone. They're gone. They're shot. So, no more coffee. I start drinking tea. I start drinking water. I'm trying to, you know, lubricate the vocals again. And they're coming out like someone has shredded my throat. Now, I know there's techniques on how to do black metal without screwing up your vocals, but I don't know what they really are. I didn't learn them. It was in my wheelhouse. So, basically, there we go. I'm not going to be able to record the show on Saturday. Sunday comes along. I am now just praying for vocals. Any kind of vocals. Well, I got them. My God, did I get them. They were not good. Sounded still like somebody took a cheese grater to my vocals. Added on, I was having a little bit of a sneezing attacks and sinuses. I'm just like, oh, okay. So here we go. I did have an opening all planned. It was already built into it. It's like, all right, we got that done. And what am I doing? I am going to be having this intro and hoping that I can just match it into the main show all smooth with no problems. Yeah, we'll see how that works. So, Anyway, yeah, I have written these stories a long time ago. I've got a couple of them out there. I got some really weird titles. And I don't know if my friend will actually do anything with this song. He's been saying this stuff for years. Maybe he'll finally, you know, get off his ass and, you know, make something out of it all. And that'd be cool. If not, then okay. Well, he's got my vocals, so there you go. Maybe we can conjure something out of hell and he'll be all happy then. It'll be pretty cool because they are some really effed up vocal things I did. So with that being said, I hope you enjoyed this show. It's our fourth one for the fourth week. The show is doing well. The numbers are getting, you know, slightly better each week, and that's what we can only ask for. It's a new show. It takes time. So hope you guys are enjoying that. Otherwise, well, the fifth week is already begun. I've already watched two movies, and later today, I will be actually doing the voiceovers for the show from Sunday and a show from today. So look at that. There'll be two getting done later today. So it's just already rolling along. All right, y'all. Enjoy. Well, welcome to Sunday, January 22nd. And the film I saw today was Donkey Punch. I know, strange name, but hey, deal with it. It came out in 2008, was rated R, it's 1 hour and 39 minutes long. Yes, it's an anniversary, 15 years, genres, crime, drama, horror. Director is Ollie Blackburn. I like that name, Blackburn. And he was also the writer on this, along with David Bloom. Starring, let's see here, Robert Bolter. And again, if I butcher the name, I do apologize. Tom Burke, Julian Morris, and Jay Taylor. I got some traffic riding by there, sorry. The company was Magnet Releasing. The summary is, see here, things go drastically wrong for a group of British holidaymakers in Spain. That's putting it mildly. So just be aware of that. Out of 10, this has got a 5.2 rating off of the Internet Movie Database page. Release date for it was January 22nd of 2008. Tagline, just one of them for you. This party is going overboard. Well, hey, what do you want? It obviously takes place on a boat. All right, my opinion. It's hard to say that this film is a horror movie. I would definitely say, obviously, thriller. It really is more in that kind of wheelhouse for films. At times, it's a little boring. The sex that does occur, it's not explicit, so don't get all, ooh, moments. No, that's not going to happen. And the violence, it's not extreme. Could have been. Isn't. But look, it's a little classy, yeah, but it's got a thrower aspect to it, okay? It uses a lot of the standard tricks that we are used to in the genre, an isolated location, the communications fails, the body count rises, there's red herrings, there's manipulation going on a lot. It's all really lethal, if you would. You know, there are some obscure kind of techniques being used. So be aware of that. At times, though, I would have to say what's occurring on the screen is unwatchable. Not that it's unwatchable in the sense of, ooh, goodness, I had to put my hand up and cover my eyes. No. Unwatchable because you don't know what the hell is going on the screen. It's the framing for these scenes is not done that well, and it becomes problematic for everybody to enjoy, I think. And, you know, it's just, you know, I guess to borrow a word from one other person, it's like this youthful hedonism that's done. And, you know, when I'm thinking about this, I'm going, hedonism, interesting word. That word's being tossed around a lot with that new movie, Infinity Pool, from Brandon Cronenberg. But I think the Infinity Pool would sink, slash, and just slaughter this movie. Yeah, Infinity Pool, I'm going to be going to see it soon, so I'm looking forward to that. Anyway, this movie can be found on Plex, Pluto, and Tubi. So, there you guys go, and that enjoys our Sunday for you all. And now, we'll see what Monday brings. We'll be right back. Well, before I dive into this, I decided to start it all off with a track from Dance with the Dead, and the track was Screams and Whispers. Well, hey, let me welcome you to January 23, Monday, right? Well, I watched Darkness Follows. This was a 2003 film, rated PG, about an hour and 26 minutes long. So, yes, it's an anniversary, 20 years old. It's a fantasy horror mystery. Now, the director, I will never get this name right. I tried a couple times. So I've brought along a friend of mine. I'd like you to be introduced to the Google Translator. That's right. We've got this Google Translator here. We've plugged in the director's name. I'm going to be using this good friend here to help me along with this entire show, so I'm not out there butchering names left and right. So here we go. For the director, the name is, let's get it right here,
Jonathan Liebsman.
Thank you very much, Google Assistant. All right. The writers were John Fasanzo, I'll try my best here, James Vanderbilt, and Joe Harris. And you know what? If you look at that, and Jonathan, I think, was also a part of that writing team, all their names begin with a J. Kind of interesting. Anyway, it stars Channing Kay, that's K-L-E-Y, then it's Emma Caulfield Ford, Lee Cormy, Grant Pyro, and then Sullivan Stapleton. The company that put it out was Sony Pictures Entertainment. This got a 4.9 out of 10, and the release date for it was January 24th of 2003. A little bit of a summary for you. A vengeful spirit has taken the form of the Tooth Fairy to exact vengeance on the town that lynched her over 150 years earlier. Her only opposition is the only child now grown up who has survived her before. Some taglines for you. Sure, why not? We got four of them. Here we go. Number one. Every legend has its dark side. Yeah, all right. Evil rises. Ba-dum-ba-dum. That really doesn't fly with me too far. An eye for an eye, your life for a tooth. Okay, I can get into that. Stay in the light. Okay, all right. If the movie poster kind of translates that, that makes sense. If it doesn't, it may be difficult to get that good translation. We're like, okay, stay in the light. I don't know. Maybe if you're doing that, I think then you should have taken the words the light and slanted them so they mean a little bit more to them, or slant the word stay, or give us some bit of an emphasis, excuse me, on that. But, hey, that's on me, right? All right, now. A little bit of trivia for it, because I thought this was interesting. The closing credits run for 11 minutes. And this is because without the extra runtime, the movie would have been considered too short to be released theatrically. Understand that. When I watched the movie, I too, you know, watch a film all the way to the end credits. But I'm watching these end credits, and I'm going, they're going on and on and on. And I'm wondering, wait a minute. I know this wasn't a big blockbuster movie. I know this didn't have hundreds of workers on it. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Why are these credits crawling by at such a snail's pace? And why are they broken up? Like each person getting their own title card. It was really weird. And, you know, I understand that you wanted to tell the story in the straightest, most quickest pattern possible, but you also know you got, look, 3-4 writers involved in this project. They all have got to know the basic rules. One page equals 1 minute. You have 90 pages, 90 minutes. So in this situation, you don't have 90 pages, and you've got it in at that point. What are we talking about? Oh my God, you're talking about having it in about 79 pages. Oh, damn, you should have known right then and there. You've got a problem. A big one. It's going to be a huge detriment to the film. Because you got 11 minutes of credits, and no one ever counts their credits into their runtime until the very end. And then they're like, okay, well, I've got a, I got an hour and a 30-minute movie. I got to throw my credits in, so now I'm going to get maybe an hour and 36. Fine. Not a problem. But you added 11 minutes of your credits because you were in the hole by that much? I'm sorry. You should have stopped along somewhere and either added a scene in there or done something because, you know, you got to stretch. You got to bring more. All right. Now, the film went through 5 different title changes. This also starts raising red flags to me. I mean, I understand a film may get its name changed once or twice. 5 times? Oh, boy. So here we go. We had The Tooth Fairy. We had Don't Peek. Fear of the Dark. The Tooth Fairy, The Ghost of Matilda Dixon. Okay, that's really long. Or then the last one was The Tooth Fairy. Every Legend Has Its Dark Side. You got to be kidding me, because that's like 8 words long. You know, that's just crazy. I mean, I just don't understand that. So, excuse me. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. Before they finally settled on Darkness Falls. The director, Jonathan, he didn't want to make this movie. He had no interest, nor was he a fan of horror movies. However, he just wanted to do dramas. But his agent told him, look, you make this big studio movie, and the next film you want to make is whatever you want. Whether that happened, I don't know. I didn't go and look them up and research that in any depth. All right. The film does reference a few movies and was spoofed in another film. First, the film it got spoofed in was Scary Movie 3. And as for the films it references, Psycho, The Exorcist, Alien, What Lies Beneath, and They, which came out in 2002, and a little note about this, a monster that moves in darkness and dislikes the light. So that's how that gets referenced in there. All right, as for a little bit of an opinion here, it's going to sound like I'm skimping out on this one, but there was just some parts of the film I didn't like. I mean, the acting wasn't that great, and the plot, well, was a little bit ridiculous, and it was just a ho-hum type of horror film. So it's not a perfect movie, okay? You can poke a ton of holes through it. It's easy to watch. It doesn't slow down, and maybe except for the credits, but you know, it tells a story in a nice, swift manner, so you can have it there. I mean, otherwise, you can find the movie on DVD, but there's really not a lot to write home about with this movie. So that was our Monday film. So now we'll just wait to see what I watch for Tuesday. Oh, wait, that reminds me, there won't be a film for Tuesday. The Baron's got a little bit of medical testing to do, and from my understanding, by the time I'm done it, I will be one worn-out camper, so I will not want to be doing anything after it's all said and done. So that means I'll just have to bump along on the schedule here to see what film is coming up for Wednesday. And what film is it? Let me take a little peek ahead. It is Blood Relations. Came out in 88, so that'll be the film for Wednesday. I am the need. I did it once. Let's do it twice. So I started off with Cal Priest, and the track is A Blood in My Eyes. Good way to start a Wednesday. Well, hey, it is the 25th of January. The month is just flying by. You know, I had a friend over today and wanted to watch something I had reviewed a while back and said, hey, I want to check this out and see how you feel about it now. So we actually watched two films. First up was A Plague So Pleasant from 2013. But since I reviewed that, you guys can read that review. We'll tag it in our script here, which obviously if you're following along, it's on the horrortimes.com page there on your podcast. There you go. You're going to find Baron Craze's Visions of Horror, episode 4 or week 4 of our new year. So we watched a film called Blood Relations from 1988. Yeah, I know, going back there, right? This is rated R, about an hour and 30 minutes long. It is an anniversary, yes, 35 years old. Whew! Boy, we're really getting up there, huh? All right, so obviously the genre, horror. So gotta like that. One word, easy to understand it, right? So the director was Graham Campbell, who was also the writer, along with Stephen Saylor. It starred Jan Rubes, Kevin Hicks, Linda Denier, D-E-N-I-E-R, Lynn Adams, there's Stephen Sayer, and Ray Walton. That's W-A-L-S-T-O-N. A lot of people remember him probably from an old episode series called My Favorite Martian. I think he was on that. I could be wrong, but I think that's where I remember him from a lot. He was also on a TV series called Picket Fences, actually. So that's where I remember him from a lot. Anyway, the company that put it out, it was Miramax. Summary for this film. The members of a severely dysfunctional family get together at a snow-covered, isolated mansion in the winter, where the family members, including the father, an arrogant surgeon who may have murdered his wealthy wife, expose each other's secrets with surprising results. We got a lot of films nowadays that actually have a lot of these same kind of tropes put into them. So this is nice. And of course, for a lot of people, there's a lot of severe weather going on across the nation. You're being snowbound, you're being, you know, kind of kept indoors, can't get out, 3 feet of snow, 5 feet of snow. Hey, here's a movie for you. So if you're home alone, great. If you got you and your dog, wonderful. It's just you and your girl or guy or whatever, hey, that's okay. But imagine the entire family locked down. Ooh, could get kind of dicey. Well, this one got a 4.9 out of 10, so that's pretty good, right? I know I'm giving it, right now I'm thinking about a 5 easy. Release date for it actually was May 19th, 1988 in France. I know you guys are thinking, wow, Baron, you really jumped this thing way ahead of where you would normally watch it. Right, but again, someone brought me the film, and so we just slotted it in for the day. Moving right along here, the taglines. We got two of them for you. Anything for the family. All right. I like it. It's pretty simple, clear forward there. You know, hey, you know, anything, we got that for the family. Totally understand it. And a lot of people, their family is everything. To other people, you can slice and dice their family up, and there's parts of them that wouldn't care any which way about it. Now, the other one here is a bit more longer and very wordy, actually. Some women marry for the money. Marie paid the price. Okay, you've told us a lot of information. You made it really wordy. You're giving me too much of the storyline. It's no good for me. Again, what do we always tell you? It's 3 to 5 words on your tagline. What do we got here? Some women marry for the money. Marie paid the price. 10 words with a series of little dots in between there. Really? 10 words? Oh, come on. Come on, that's 2 lines of reading. You want to grab somebody's attention with your movie poster when they walk by. You know, they're walking to the theater, they're walking to the bathroom, they're walking to the concession stand, they're walking out of the place. They're going to see this. They need to catch it. Bang, connection, really quick. Here, no, we're not getting that connection. So, how to put this? This is a what I like to call, I'm not going to quote one of my buddies here, Kyle. He would call this a bizarro film. I can kind of go with that. It is bizarre, but he goes with the word bizarro. Like, it's got more pizzazz, I guess. I don't know. The film is occasionally truly creepy, weird performances that are good and believable. Now, there's really no gore in the movie, but that doesn't really have a detriment. This is a film that's built on the atmosphere. It's a gothic type of shocker. Kind of an overlooked classic. I really would have to say that. A lot of people don't know about this film. In fact, this is maybe the first time a lot of you are actually hearing about this film. So if that's the case, welcome to it. Now, its setup is a little on the sluggish side. I will let you know that. It takes a little time to get going. But that always seems to happen. You know, you got to figure out a way always to introduce all your characters. And there's only so many different variations of how you can possibly do that. But by the time you get to the end of the movie, you're going to forget about that slow start. It should just kind of breeze all by you that way. It is warped, and let's put it that way. And it's worth your time. You should invest the time to track this movie down. Maybe you can find it on YouTube. I doubt that. But got it here through a DVD, I believe it was. It was either we watched DVD or we do have a, believe it or not, we have a VHS player hooked up in this house where, you know, hey, the Baron does have different ways of getting his hands on things. But anyway, there you guys go. So we'll back. Actually, I'll be back on Friday. Tomorrow is another time for the Baron to go see more doctors who want to go pinch and probe and take blood and who knows whatever else they'll be doing to me. So tomorrow it is a day where you got to rest the eyes, so to speak, and then they're going to be doing, I guess, drops in the eyes and all that fun stuff. Ooh, joy, joy, joy. Well, hope you guys enjoy them. We'll be back for the Friday when that happens. Welcome to Happy Friday. I know it's not a Friday the 13th, but hey, it is January 27th. And look, I did it once. I did it twice. That's why I started with a thrice. Gave you again Calabrese, with this time the track was Midnight Spook Show. And if you didn't recognize that scream up there, that would be from the movie House on Haunted Hill from 1959. If you're curious about that film, you should be. Review is on the Horror Times site. Just follow the link we have in the script and you'll be all set. So what movie did we watch? It was Frankenstein's Army from 2013. Rated R, 1 hour and 24 minutes long. Yes, it's an anniversary. Yes, it's 10 years. It's a horror sci-fi movie. Now, once again, with some of these names for this film, the names are pretty hard for me to say. So I've got my good friend here, Google Translator, to help me out in saying the director's names, and then the writer's names. All right, so here we go. The director was Google Translator. Lay it on us. We got to know. But there's no way. I mean, I can get the first name, Richard. After that, forget it.
Richard Raphorst.
All right, there we go. Richard Raphorst. And now get into the writers. Well, Richard helped out in this. So did a Chris W. Period Mitchell. Of course, Mary Shelley, obviously. You couldn't go anywhere wrong with that. And as for the other writer for this particular film, it is
Miguel Tejada Flores.
There you go for that. So we're all set. All right, time to move it into our stars in the film. We've got Luke Newberry. And then we got our friend Google Translator once again to help us with some of these stars' names. All right, Google Translator, what is the first name for one of our stars here?
Robert Gwillem.
And then?
Hunping Tang.
Cool. And who's next?
Alexander Terentyev.
All right, and the last one is?
Carol Brookhoff.
Thank you, Google Translator. Face it, without that, I would never get these names right. I'd be butchering them left and right, and that wouldn't be any good for me, for the show, or for you, the listeners. The company that released this was MPI Media Group. Summary for the film is, in the dying days of WW2, a battalion of Russian soldiers is lured into a secret lab of a deranged scientist and forced to face off against an army of horrific flesh and metal warrior machines. The film got a 5.3 out of 10. Release date for this was actually April 18th of 2013 in the United States. And hey, what did I do? I took the Netherlands date because it actually came first on the list, which would be January 26th of 2013. Tagline, there's only one. Here we go. What is dead may never die. Interesting. So curious. What is dead, we got that, may never die. So it gives you a nice illusion of what there is. I kind of like that. The location of this film was in Prague, which was the Czech Republic. So you guys be aware of that. If you want more detail of exactly where that is, we did put that down for you. It's pretty much the main locations. Now, as for a little trivia, figure that should be really important. And there is a little bit for you guys to be aware of. The working title for this film was Worst Case Scenario. Actually, that Worst Case Scenario had a big buzz on the net before they did what they did to the film by changing the name. So, I mean, it built up a groundswell with people. And what happened? Threw it all away. Because that's what you do, because that just always makes sense, right? Yeah, that's always smart. I do want to note here that the female teddy bear robot monster that is seen is credited in the end as the teddy bear robot Frankenstein mother, meaning Dr. Frankenstein created the monster out of his own mother. So that was kind of interesting there. Now look, does this film contain in the realms of the war horror? Yes. Is it a Nazi exploitation film? I would say no. It's got Nazi exploitation in it, yes, but it's not the main driving element in the movie. But I can see where you would sway to that. I mean, look, let me put it this way. If you are upset by, offended by, seeing swastikas and other types of symbols, then don't watch this movie. If you're not, then fine, watch the film. The film is in no way promoting Nazism. I do want to definitely stress that to you all. You should realize that I would never watch a film like that. And number two, the filmmakers did not do that. It is just part of the error, if you would. Now, going with that, we did have, there's a bit of a backlash to this film, believe it or not, where people slam it for showing that sort of thing, going, how dare they show that? They don't need to show that. Yeah, they kind of do, really. I mean, you couldn't have your lab, you couldn't have anything unless you had some sort of honor code to the Führer at that point. I mean, that would be like saying that if you have a business today, most businesses are going to have the American flag up in their business. Somewhere, some point, they're going to have that flag. It is just what's going to happen. So back then, that is what happened. Now, having cleared that out of the way, once again, you got certain people out there who want things a certain way. They like to have them just done. I like things this way. I don't want to have it in this other stuff. I'm sorry. I don't play in that world. All right, so what do we got here? Well, we're doing some good news. The Frankenstein Army was made by a team of, that's a great deal, excuse me, in imagination. This film has actually got a bit of a cult following to it now, a cult value. So be aware of that. Now, Frankenstein Army is, what's a good way to put this? Excuse my language for this, but it's fucking insane. It really is. It's B-movie glory going on. The plot, simple, right? We don't need anything really complex. It's all right there. But it does lack a little bit of being trying to hide itself. It doesn't. It just kind of lays it all out there. It doesn't hide it at all. So if you're looking for something slow building or something, that's not going to be this type of movie. It does make up for a lot of this, these visuals, if you would, in just sheer ravaging upon the screen. I mean, really right up in your face. It's got a bit of a camp to it, a little bit of camp horror that's mixed in, I would say that. There are some silly kind of storylines, some one-off cheesy lines of dialogue, but it works well. It gives you that gore factor, and it also gives you what you have in B-movies, especially of late. A bit of trash, a bit of brashness to them, okay? So be aware of that. The creatures, they are definitely original. Some are a little bit, believe it or not, funny looking. The actions of them are especially. There are some truly bloody situations that are occurring. The visuals, though, I would have to mention this. Occasionally, they seem to be almost if the Steadicam operator was falling down during parts of it. So I'm not too sure what style they use on the filming, but sometimes that Steadicam, I feel, is just a little herky-jerky. It could be where the film was made. They didn't have the right type of track system to put the camera on. They were using more of that format. And they can just go with what they have. I mean, look, I've seen filmmakers not have the right track system to put the camera on and move it. And they are using skateboards. You know, they fasten them together, they put the camera on it, and they're using that. Well, look, that's going to be a really wobble shot because those things are not built for the camera. They're not built for that stabilization, if you would. So be aware of that. If you don't like things that jostle around a lot, then this film will not be for you. Now, you can find this film on Free V, which is basically, I think, off of the Internet Movie Database, Plex, and Tubi. Now, again, please be noted here. I tell you where to find the film. I can't guarantee you that when you listen to the show, or maybe you go back in a couple weeks, you want to watch something, that film is still there. Licenses are always running out, so you must be aware of that. Sometimes you may have to try to find the film on your own. If you can't find the movie, contact me. Maybe I can point you in the right direction. Maybe I can give you some insight where to go for the film, or if you wanted to buy the movie, where you can go and get that too. We don't usually put down on our site an Amazon link of where to buy the movie. We usually just leave that for the books. So it's not something we're always doing of, hey, here's the movie, here's where you can go buy it. Sometimes we do that for new releases of things, but we don't usually include it into our Visions of Horror show, nor do we put it into the reviews. It's just something we do on the show. All right, with that being said, well, tomorrow's Saturday, so you know I'll be doing another one of these and putting the whole entire show together for the week and putting it out there for Saturday night. So you guys are all set. Enjoy. All right, so here we are with Saturday's movie. Now, listen to the beginning of this show. Didn't have those vocals, so I actually recorded this thing on Monday. So it's kind of weird, but hey, shit happens. So, anyway, watched it actually on the 28th. And this movie has got probably one of the weirder titles, than anything else. I mean, the title alone is just be like one of those things where you're going to go, what the hell? You're going to take that double take when you hear it here, when you see it on the script, when you see it in the Visions of Horror for the month column. You are going to take a double take. Guaranteed. The movie, The Washing Machine. Honest, that's the title. From 1993, unrated, an hour and 30 minutes long. Anniversary film? Yes. 30 years old. Crime, drama, horror. Now, there is no way that I would ever get the director's name correct. So what did I do? What I've done a couple times on this show, it is getting my good friend, the Google Translator, out. Welcome. And here we go. Going to take a really big swing at some of this, and hopefully the Google Translator gets it all right for us to handle. So the director was?
Roger Deodatus.
Okay. I'm going to see if we can get the Italian version of that.
Ruggero Deodato.
There you go. That was the Italian version of it. You would know him for his cannibal films, definitely. So we'll get into that in just a few moments. Now, as for a script writer on this, here we go. This one is going to be another interesting name for you all.
Luigi Spagnol.
There you go. Now, a few cast members. Again, the Google Translator, we just loaded them all right into it and said, here, you go and have some serious fun with it all because there's no way. I may get some of the first names right, but there's no way I'm going to get any of the last names. So, enjoy.
Philippe Caroy, Ilaria Borelli, Katarzyna Figura, Laszlo Borbelli, Barbara Ritchie.
There you go. I think that is one of the best ways for me to kind of put that out there for you all to definitely basically get a good understanding of what we're talking about. Because there's just no way. Can you imagine me trying to do all those? There's just, nope, sorry. Definitely would not happen. So I don't know what else to tell you there. That would have been really messed up. And I don't really feel like doing that. Now, The reason for the director, really, I think somebody including him into all this, is that he died on December 29th of 22 at the age of 83. And I figure somebody just said, okay, well, let's put him into this somehow. And they found an anniversary film. And can't really go wrong with that. You got to like that a lot. A lot of people obviously are aware of his films, just kind of noted here. In 77 with the Jungle Holocaust, and in 1980 with the Cannibal Holocaust. House on Edge Park was in 1980. Cut and Run was in 84. Body Count in 86. Phantom of Death in 87. Dial Help was in 88. And then, of course, here we go, The Washing Machine in 1993. So, definitely gets your entire worldview right there. You want gruesome? Here's what you get. But let's get a little bit further, shall we? The company that put it out was the Music Video Distributors from MVD. The summary: a police detective investigates the murder of a man found dismembered in a washing machine and is drawn into a web of deceit and murder by the dead man's lover and her two sisters. So, it gets kind of weird. It's got a 5.3 out of 10. The release date was 1993 in France. No exact date. There are no taglines. There is no trivia. Location, Budapest, Hungary for the film. And now, how should I put this? We'll get into some of my views of this movie. So, what do we have here, right? We have what one would talk about is Euro thriller. I guess that's the best way I can put it. It is a film that you would go in with seriously highly raised defense wall here. You're going to be guarded because the title alone, it gives you this weird thought. You know, I had to think back when I maybe heard or seen a kill scene involving a washing machine. The closest one I could ever come to was, I think those were dryers. They could have been washing machines, but I think they were dryers. And that would have been with My Bloody Valentine. Although the killer did not per se put the person in that machine to kill them. They were already missing their heart. And they were just stuffed into one of these machines for safekeeping. And, you know, to keep her nice and fresh and clean, you know, with all the blood and everything else. This is the pacing in the film is good. It's got several erotically, you know, exquisite moments, if you would. The mystery elements are there in the movie. What else can I tell you about this film that we get sexy? Yeah. Twisted? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're definitely there. You don't have to worry about going to some adult section. You're not have to worry about, oh, gee, can I see this? And people are going to be upset. No, this film covers it all for you. It really lays it all bare and exposed. You know, it's just a movie that, how should I put it? The director has decided to give everything he could to the movie. I don't think a lot of you are going to be looking at a washing machine the same way again. You know, you think about it, we got movies about refrigerators, and we got movies about freezers and elevators, and what else we get? I mean, how we have the driller killer, so we've got power tools. So we got a lot of different kind of weapons and such. And why not use the washing machine, right? It does have that element. I don't want to... You know the problem is? Some would call this like a Euro trash movie. I don't. I call it Euro thriller. Because that's really what it is. Because really, I hate to put it this way. Anybody can add the word trash to anything and make it try to sound more than what they want. And sometimes when people hear the word trash, they just think, oh, it's garbage. I mean, that would be wrong. You shouldn't do that because you're judging it by somebody trying to use a terminology for the film. I would say that some people would probably go to the art house level and pick up on a phrase that has been used in a long time, which was porno violence. This is not a porno, nor does it have that kind of violence that somebody's trying to attract to it. Porno violence, by the way, was a term coined back when the movie Bonnie and Clyde got released. later on, people then kind of cannibalized off of that and made torture porn. So this film falls in between those two errors in the fancy wordplay, if you would. But yeah, basically, it's a good movie. You will enjoy yourselves with it. And the way I did see it, a friend left me a bootleg copy of it. So I don't know where he got it. I don't know what he did to get it. But yeah, he used some interesting skill set there and got a copy of the movie. Played fine for me. Since it was for private use, wasn't like he was doing anything really wrong. So got a bootleg copy. And again, I don't know if he made a copy. I don't think he did. I think he probably found it at some trade show or some other place, and he saw it, and he picked it up, and he brought it back, and he's like, here you go, Baron. This is for you. Enjoy yourself very much. And, that's pretty much the end of the show. Listen, with that being said, I want to thank you for all tuning in to Baron Craze's Visions of Horror, episode number 4. Already watching films and doing the voiceovers and everything else for the next week's show. Do want to mention that we're going to have two pieces of music on our closeout here. First up is going to be Midnight Syndicate with the track Born of the Night. And then it's going to be Bloody Hammers with From Beyond the Grave. Enjoy these now. Be sure to like The Horror Times on Facebook. Be sure to like The Baron's Crypt on Facebook, a long-running horror show. It's going to be making its, basically we were supposed to do it over this weekend. We didn't. We decided to bump it, so that's okay. I really wanted to gear up for it, actually. Our big anniversary show will be kicking off for February just because how the month ran for us. And there you guys go. So enjoy. Thank you for listening, and have a good week. Enjoy the horror. There's a lot of it out there. Thank you.
listened.